An O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card is the perfect gift for that hard-to-buy-for person. Give the gift of convenience from O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How much power do you think your car makes? I'm not sure if you dynoed it.
On paper, it made 1560 cast block, no billet here.
Wait, so you're making 1700 on a cast block?
Yes. On a non-ported head, stock K20 head, I'll take the motor apart right here in front of anybody.
So what do you think it is about Hondas that people just still don't have respect for them?
This is hard work.
Something like that happened recently at World Cup?
Yeah, they were crying that I burnt them down.
I thought something was wrong with the light.
That's not my fault. You have a gas and brake just like me.
If you're into Hondas and love the Street Alpha podcast, check out our exclusive Honda t-shirts, now available with a hoodie option too. Hit the link below to grab yours today.
Welcome back to another episode of the Street Alpha Podcast. I am your host, Tooks, and today we are in Jersey. We have the pleasure of sitting with Ferrell of HiBoost. Now, Ferrell is a legend in the streets in the tri-state area. He's known for having some of the most iconic street races in the tri-state area. So let's give a round of applause for Ferrell.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So aside from street racing, you also are at the track as well.
Yeah.
Now, are you in the streets at all?
I haven't been hit the streets in a while. It's been a little dead. And then the kind of cars that are racing now, they don't match the caliber. So
yeah,
kind of just left it alone. Friends of mine have other street cars that we've been testing that we'll be testing soon. So we'll be outside soon. We'll have a couple cars.
Now, but your personal cars, they're not going to be in the streets, right?
I'll have a shop car out there.
But so are you in the process of building that car or?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a EK hatch.
EK hatch?
Yeah, it's a friend of mine.
All-wheel drive, I'm assuming?
No, front-wheel drive.
Front-wheel drive?
Yeah, front-wheel drive. And then I drive another car from the guys over there in Hackensack VIP. Shout out to the guys over there. La Hookah. That car is an old motor car, and we've raced that a couple times.
All right, cool. So we're going to get into some of like the upcoming of how you got to where you are today. Obviously, people have seen those videos. Shout out to Ty Boogie for recording a lot of those iconic moments.
Shout out to Ty. What up, Ty?
I mean, I wish he was here. He said he was supposed to be here for this podcast. He did say that. He's like, yo, when you get Ferrell, I want to be on. But he'll have his own episode. He'll have his own feature. But so what I want to know is how you even got into, Hondas and why you chose Hondas to even to race.
You know, at the time, that's all we could afford, you know.
And, okay. And you're from Jersey native?
Yes. Okay. Born and raised in Jersey. That's all we had. That's all we could afford, you know. So we started tinkering with them and then we started street racing them. And then little by little, it turned into a business. Like, yeah, well, can you fix my car? I'm like, shit. Yeah, fuck it, you know.
So when you say we, that's just like you and your friends or
family? Yeah, me, C's the champ. Shout out to C's. Okay. He's out in Florida right now.
And you guys grew up together?
Yeah, we started doing this together. Street racing. I met him street racing. Avenue P days were the best days, you know. All the CLM guys. Shout out to Cunha, Ricky, Steve. All good people, man.
And Avenue P is, I'm assuming that's a Jersey thing?
It's a Jersey thing where everybody used to street race back in the days by the movie theater. We used to go back there and everybody used to just test their cars.
And from those days specifically, do you remember any iconic or anything that stands out to you the most from those days?
Yeah, that's I used to have an Integra and I raced one of Cunha's CLM Integra. I lost, of course. You know, in the beginning, we didn't care. We just wanted to race.
Yeah.
That was a good race. We raced on Avenue P.
And what did the Integra have?
It was, we didn't care. At that time, you know, now just people care about that. Like, oh, what's your setup?
Yeah.
Back then, we didn't care. Just line up. Just grab a lane. Who cared?
What year was this, you think?
Oof. I want to say maybe 08, 09, maybe.
Okay. Who were some of the people that you looked up to getting into this during that time? Because you have to have somebody that you looked up to have some inspiration, right?
Oh, Preyonto. You know, used to go to the track and say, damn, look at that. You know, look at the fucking stacker. damn, you know.
And so this is you going to the track, still street racing.
Still street racing, looking at these guys like, fuck, you know, Speed Factory.
Yeah.
Fuck, they pull in with their rig like, damn, bro, look at that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We were trying to, we would go there, throw our slicks. We didn't have nothing, throw our slicks, our extra axles, whatever tools we needed to fix the car at the track in the trunk. And like, yo, come on, we're all out.
On a budget.
You know, go to the track, have fun, break shit, come back, fix it again, you know.
What were some of the things that you learned getting into more of the, like taking it from the streets to drag racing? Like, how did you make that transition?
The car started getting faster.
Okay.
And it was harder to dial them in the streets. So safety was a concern. So we had to choose, you know. I still like the street. Don't get it fucked up. Like, that's where I grew up. That's where my heart is at. You know, anybody could still get it. If the money's right, it'll come out, you know. But safety was a concern.
Okay.
And then we started to say, you know, maybe we could start trying to get sponsors. So we had to like wean away a little bit out of it, you know.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
It didn't really work like that. So we just kept on fucking street racing. Yeah.
What is it about street racing though that you know that makes you want to keep doing it?
It's just the adrenaline. Yeah.
So let's say now is that only in private situations or is that with crowds? Like, does it matter?
Anywhere. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if there's a crowd there or not. I zone all that out. Once I'm in the seat, I don't see nothing. I look straight and that's it. I look at my guy. I just need my guy to my left and then that's it.
Yeah.
Like, usually my crew, like my guys know what to do.
Right.
Everybody has a job. It's not just me. The driver has their one job. They got to do their job and drive. But our job is to make sure he's straight, make sure he's in the bite, make sure everything is good.
Right.
For him. We have to make him comfortable.
So what was the first car that you actually put all your time and money into?
My Integra.
Your Integra.
Yeah.
So that was the car that you stole.
Yeah. It was a blue Integra, fucking had Lambo doors. Everybody laughed at me.
At Lambo doors?
Lambo doors, yeah. Everybody laughed at me. It was a show car.
It was a show car that you were shooting.
Yeah. It was a tank. It was fast. The fastest one out here. Had a JDM front when people were like, what the fuck? People thought it was a DA.
Oh, it had a JDM front?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was the fastest one out here.
So it's the fastest Integra out here with butterfly doors.
Yeah. They used to tell you, what the fuck? Go to a race, pull the speaker box out the back, give it to one of the guys.
What was the inspiration behind the doors?
I don't know. Like, it was just a fad. When that shit came out, I was like, yo, that shit is dope, you know?
So you had to have it?
Yeah.
Now, how much money do you think you put into that car from when you remember? And what was in it?
It was a B18 Turbo. Fully built. Yeah.
Okay.
At the time, it was tuned by Felix Tune. Shout out to Felix, man. Taught me a lot, too. It was the fastest shit out here at the time.
How much do you think there was in that car?
About 35,000.
35. Yeah. One time. Not just like...
No, it was like, you know, little by little. I broke a lot of shit. You know how it is.
Right.
Just little by little through time, I had to have had 35, 40,000 into that car.
So I have a question later that I'll ask you about that because people seem to have this misconception about what it costs to build a Honda, especially at this level. So
it's expensive.
It is. I'm sure it is, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that soon. So after the Integra, you got rid of it. What happened with that car?
Yeah, I got rid of it, sold it, had to do some stuff with the business, so we didn't really race for a little bit, and then got back into it.
Okay.
A good friend of mine gave me his hatchback. Shout out to Eggy, one of my brothers. He don't do the social media thing, but
okay,
he gave me a car. He was like, yo, you want to race here? We're not using this car. Fuck with this. That's the hatch that you see.
The one up there.
Yeah.
Right. So you started with that car. That was pretty much the car that kind of, I guess, segued into...
Yeah, transitioned me into going into faster categories. And it was a front-wheel drive, too.
Okay.
It was pretty fast. I think it went 860s at the time.
When you started building that car, right, were you learning along the way of what to put on the car in order to have it for the track?
Absolutely.
Like, did you have anybody that was, like, telling you what to do, or you had to learn by yourself? Pretty much like through things breaking,
we learned ourselves, you know. Everybody broke stuff and we just transitioned little by little, like, all right, we could do this, we could try that. Like, I learned a lot from a lot of the guys like I used to deal with.
So did you have sponsors yet or no?
No, we were all doing this out of pocket. We were fixing people's cars, then dumping the money back into the car.
And so you were still street racing at that time?
Yeah, still going to the track, going to the track, street racing, going to the back and forth, trying to get
with that car though.
Yes,
that car. So that was a street car and also a track car.
Yes.
So what were some of the most memorable moments with that car early on?
A friend of mine, his name is Elvis. Shout out to Elvis. They were from Maryland. They came up here. They were about it. They used to street race over there a lot. They came up here. They mopped us up because we know we overpowered them, but that's when we first started racing on 1 and 9.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, we thought we had them definitely overpowered, but it didn't. The road couldn't take it, so he just walked away from us.
So what were the stipulations for that race? Do you remember?
You probably know stips like fuck it. I have a lot of races under my belt.
I know.
Yeah. just use the usual stips. You know, if you cross,
yeah,
you lose. You know, you jump, you pay, you break, you pay half. You break, you got 30 minutes to fix the car.
Mm-hmm.
The usual shit. Nowadays, people have some crazy rules.
So how do you feel about that? How do you feel about the rules in today's street racing? And how do you feel about like how social media has kind of changed it?
Because that shit's all fucked up. It's draggy racing.
It's draggy racing now?
Yeah, that's what it is.
I hear that with a lot of the OGs. Yeah, they say the same thing.
It's draggy racing. You guys fucked it all up. You guys fucked it all up.
Now, were you guys primarily racing off the hands? Like, when did the light become a thing?
The light became a thing when Street Outlaws came out.
All right.
Of course, everybody's like, the light.
Yeah.
Before, it wasn't like that.
Right.
Before, when they flagged, none of them would move. They would both stay there for like 15, 20 minutes. No bullshit. Flag, nobody move. Flag, nobody move. Flag, one would jump, bring that ass back. He would have to line back up. They'd be there for like 20 minutes. So one of them would budge.
I think that's more exciting, though.
Yeah.
I think it's so much
more. That's when the cars were much more simpler. Now you can't really do that shit.
What do you mean?
Because the cars were on alternators. Now a lot of the guys are on 16 volt. They're coming out there, no alternator. They can only run for a couple minutes. And then the cars are dying.
You lost me with the alternator thing. Can you explain? I've never heard of that.
Some cars, they no longer need the alternator to run the car. They put a bigger battery in it.
Okay.
And they only have a certain amount of time to run. Then the battery will die.
Really?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
And that's just for Hondas?
That's for a couple cars. A lot of people run 16 volts. Back then, everybody was on a straight alternator. So you could drive. We used to drive the car to the spot. Now everybody's dropping it off trailers.
That's why. I always thought that people were doing that because I guess heat soaking and they didn't want to cycle the motor.
Yeah, that. And nowadays everybody has like a 3 gallon cell, 2 gallon cell. They won't make it from the meetup spot to the actual race spot.
Right.
But if they do, they'll refill.
Okay.
I see some guys, they come and they refill. They have their little crew ready.
Right.
So
with social media, like I said, being different, what else do you feel like you don't really, I don't want to say you don't respect it, but like, what else do you feel?
Them slideshows are fucking
horrible,
bro.
Takeover stuff?
Horrible. Yeah, that shit's crazy. That's crazy. Falling people flying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know.
You think that's fun?
No, I don't.
We're catching them charged. You think that's fun?
I don't take
Superman and out of here. Broken hip. Going home with a broken. How do you explain this?
Worse than that.
How do you explain this, ma? Fucking. You're all fucked up. How do you find that fun, bro? Now you need tires tomorrow. How you going to work? Fuck, you're fucked. You know what I'm saying?
So this is the thing with that, right? There's a lot of younger people doing this, right? When I got into cars,
I would go retards.
Yeah. Well, I would go to street races. And there was this takeover stuff wasn't a thing. So like I feel like it's like an influence thing. It's like people when you're young, you don't go to street races because a lot of the street races, you gotta be in group chats for it. You gotta know where it's at. A lot of these kids aren't gonna be in those. So like where else are they gonna go? Like how are they gonna know what's happening in the streets? They're gonna go to takeovers.
Yeah.
So how do you feel like there's anything that can be done to kind of change the narrative of how the streets
are? It's hard, man. Once that wave goes, it's just,
I think it's done?
Yeah, it's hard, man. It's hard. Plus a lot of the places that are closing around here.
Yeah, a lot of the tracks.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? People want something to do, somewhere to go.
That's what I'm saying.
So it's hard.
With the takeovers, do you feel like it has completely ruined street racing as a whole because of how strict like the cops are and stuff like that?
Yeah,
because
they made everything hot.
Even in Jersey?
Everywhere. There's a lot of shit on social media about all that dumb shit.
Damn.
It's crazy.
So I give it like 2 years before it's like completely clipped, I say, for the streets.
Depends where, again, you know.
Well, a lot of these places, iconic...
Some places are stricter than others.
States, you mean?
Yeah. So
that's true, but I feel like in New York And I can't speak for Jersey, but I feel like a lot of it's getting a lot more strict, you know, because of the takeovers and stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of this stuff is being pretty much filmed. So it's like, if those races stop happening, then we won't even see any of that stuff at all.
Yeah.
Like, period. Going back to you and your EG hatch, right? When you started taking it to the track, what were some of like the first big races you had on the track?
We used to always grudge race with Hansel built.
Okay.
Hansel had a turbo car. So we were going at it back in the days, because those back in the days was the best. Like,
yeah.
We didn't care who had what. If you had a turbo car and you had a turbo car, we're racing. We didn't care if it was stock or it was built. Mm-hmm. We were racing. It didn't matter.
So do you get more anxiety at the track than you do in the streets?
Same anxiety.
The same thing.
Yeah, same thing. On the street, you got to be more on point, 100%. You know, we've had a couple bad close calls on the street. You know, you definitely have to have your crew on their P's and Q's, because shit can happen real quick.
So what is it about the drag racing that gives you the most anxiety? Is it like the people? Is it bumping in or?
Yeah, the people. Like, everybody's there watching you, you know. It's exciting too at the same time, you know. Because a lot of people, they can't do it. So they're happy for you that you're doing it still.
Right.
So it makes me feel good.
Do you feel like a lot of pressure normally?
No, not really. Because I just still do this for fun. You know, I'm not title sponsored by anybody. I have people that help me. Yes, yeah. I do, but I'm not title sponsored. I still do this all out of pocket. Like, I do it for me because I have fun doing it.
Does the shop pretty much take care of all that? Like, is that
why the shop takes care of a lot of the cost for the car. Thank God I'm busy, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I know, we were trying to schedule this, man, and
yeah,
if I would have known, I had to reach out, you know,
a while ago. He was on like, my back, on my back, like, get that done.
We've been talking for like...
Yeah, shout out to O, man.
Months, I don't even know, but yeah, appreciate you, bro.
Thank you, O.
So, for somebody who's trying to get into drag racing with a Honda, I kind of want people to understand how much it costs, right? So if you're taking the Honda down the track, one pass, roughly, how much do you think it would cost you? In maintenance or whatever, swapping tires or whatever it is. Like, what is the cost when you go to the track for, like, let's say a weekend or an event?
It all depends if you have a good weekend. Sometimes you have a good weekend and nothing will break.
Yeah.
That'll be an easy $2,000 weekend if nothing breaks.
Okay, so that $2,000 has what?
Fuel, food, if we have to stay for the weekend. It's usually sometimes more. The guys, the entrance fees, you know, and then I got to bring my kid and... You got to take care of all your guys that are going. So you got to pay. I pay all my guys' entrance fees.
Right.
The race gas, the gas for the truck, the diesel.
And you bring that yourself, right?
Or No, I bring everything. I bring my trailer, my truck. I load everything. I load my tools. Everything I need to work on the car there, I load everything up and I'm out.
So you don't include the cost of like having like an extra block or extra transmission in that?
Nah, not really. That's totally... A totally different cost, like to build a spare motor.
But so when you're racing though, don't you have a spare most of the time?
Yeah,
most
luckily of these guys have motors. Yeah, luckily I had a spare when I had broke. But yeah, I always factor that in because at the level that we're at, shit breaks.
Yeah, you
know, if you're not breaking shit, then I don't know what to tell you. It's shit, you break shit.
No, 100%. If you're drag racing, especially, yeah. How much money should you have? Like, what should be a good budget for? Like, if you want to go from the streets to the track. What would be a good budget to build a Honda with?
That's a hard, depends if it's all motor, if it's turbo, what class you want to go into. But
let's say
easily, you could dump easily 30 grand into a Honda. Easy. And that's just for starters.
To drag race,
yeah.
And then what would you be running with that though, 30K?
You
like
could,
ET-wise.
You could definitely go nines, easy.
With 30K?
Turbo car, yeah. All day.
Okay, what about all motor?
I feel like all motor, you spend more and you get less. No, you know, I like all motor. It's all right, you know, but you spend so much and you get so little. You know, unless you're mixing fuel and shit like that.
Yeah.
I like all motor, but I like turbo better. I've always been a turbo guy.
Is it just because of how, like, the car hit makes its power and how it hits? That's what's most exciting about it?
Yeah. You can make a lot of power on a stock K motor. Easy 500 with just... grabbing a motor out of a Type S, putting it in the car, throwing a turbo kit on it, on pump gas, and make 500 and drive it from here to fucking Miami.
But that's with less than $30,000.
Yeah, you could do it around that. And that's including with a good tranny too, because everybody knows those K transmissions are weak.
So what are the options for the transmissions usually for the case?
There's so many wide variety of
for drag racing also?
For drag, yeah. They have a street strip gear set, and then they have a full drag gear set. They have a whole bunch of stuff they sell now.
And then what are the transmissions usually cost roughly around?
Anywhere from like $5,000 to $10,000, I want to say. All-wheel drive is definitely more. I got about 25 into my transmission.
Just the transmission
Just
alone.
The transmission. And everybody knows. Go look at the drag car tuck. I'm not lying.
So $30,000 to build a 9-second Honda, right?
Yeah.
How do you get that?
And that's for good quality parts too.
Okay.
That's good. Not no bullshit. No, you know, that's with good stuff.
Right. So how do you get? All right. So I had an episode with Sonic. I'm sure you saw.
Shout
right?
out to Sonic. What up, fellas? CT guys.
Yeah. Jamie. So one of the biggest things in the comments that people were bashing them on was, there's no way that you have $100,000 into a Honda.
Right? I bet you he does.
Well, so people don't understand, like what you just said, $30,000 to build a Honda. But what he was saying was, if you put them side by side, if you put Sonic's car side by side to another $30,000 Honda, you can tell the differences. And their cars are clean.
Yeah, like, yeah, absolutely.
Super clean.
Yeah.
So how do you get from $30,000 to $100,000?
That's just on simple, decent, like good quality parts, but like right. put together just decently, nothing crazy. Like they go crazy.
Yeah.
Like new, every nut and bolt, what they do, they every nut and bolt. That's a whole type of different build.
Right.
So of course you would see $100,000 there.
Yeah.
You know, between powder coating, stripping the car down. Absolutely, they got $100,000 into those cars. 100%.
So what do you think it is about Honda people that they don't understand? Because like you said, $30,000, but like they don't understand how you can have $100,000 in Honda.
Yeah, they're not buying quality parts.
Okay.
100%.
I wish I asked him that question, because when he was saying this stuff, I wish I would have, like, you know,
more elaborated, more.
Yeah, because then people don't get it. They say, well, I think he said more than 100,000 actually, but
100%. I believe it, because, well, I don't know if he's calculating probably labor too. So, you know,
no, I don't think it was labor, because he built it. But I mean, if you were to take a car to him, it would probably cost that.
Yeah. No, it'll cost more. 100%.
More.
Yeah. Way more. Because now he's got to do your runaround.
True. This is true.
You know, he's taking the headache off your hands and giving you a turnkey car here. It's hard.
Yeah.
I do it now and it's hard.
So if somebody comes to you with a Honda, you're going to build it to that level? Or is there?
It all depends on the budget. Again, like a lot of people, it's expensive, you know?
Right.
I ask them what their goals are. Like, where do you want to go with this? And then I just shoot in that direction. Like I have a customer now that has a all-wheel drive EP3, and he's like, I want to go this fast. I said, okay, I got you. And we had to change the whole car up. I was like, if you don't do it this way, then I can't really help you, you know, because I already know how the setup should be.
Yeah.
It's got to be a certain way. If not, you already know it's not going to work.
Right, right. So you've probably been through a lot of customer experiences, right?
Yeah, a lot.
So going from a lot of the street racing and the drag racing and stuff like that, at what point did you open up a shop?
When everybody was like, you should open a shop and work on my car. And then little by little, we were like, fuck it, let's try it. We opened up a little shop, and my first shop was in North Bergen.
Okay.
Little two-car garage.
Was that when you had the Integra still? Or the
Yeah, I still had the Integra still. Okay, so that car just put me on the map, because it was like the first turbo car out here. Nobody really had turbo car at all. And the power I was making, nobody was making that power at that time. It was unheard of, like 900 horsepower. And
well, you were making 900 horsepower.
Yeah, and I was driving it every day. I was driving it through snowstorms.
And what year?
This was like 08, 09.
What?
Yeah.
900.
And I used to drive it every day with extra race gas jugs in the back.
What?
Yeah.
I was thinking like 5 or 6. I didn't know it was 9.
Yeah.
So that car put you on the map, and that kind of made people, you know, I guess want to bring, you know, their services or the cars to
you. They were like, oh, he knows what he's doing. The car's moving. The car's running. You know, he's going fast. He knows what he's doing.
Any bad experiences that stand out to you the most that kind of made you change the way you run your business?
It's hard doing cars, project cars.
Right.
Especially when the funds aren't there, because they expect one thing And it's hard to deliver it when the funds aren't there. You know, they want you to do a lot for a little, and it's hard.
Do they normally drop off all the money for the car, or it's like, you know, money here, money there?
Yeah, sometimes they do money here. I have customers that pay all up front, mm-hmm. and I have some that pay here and there. Like, I don't mind, you know, yeah. but it's harder to do a project car like that.
What would you say to the people, the shop owners? There's a lot of, I hear it actually every week, people or shops robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Oh, yeah, right? That's crazy.
It's pretty, it's extremely common in the car scene.
Me, Peter, and Paul are cool. We don't do that.
Not saying you do that, yeah. but I'm just saying, like, it's very, very common in the car scene.
That's crazy.
So how, as a customer going into a shop, what are some things that you should probably have in order prior to going into a shop to build a car?
Just know what you want, basically, okay. you know, set your budget. Don't overset your budget. Set your budget. I want to spend this much. How fast can I go for this much? Then they will tell you. If the shop is real, they'll tell you.
But what if they tell you and then there's still like some type of like when do you know it gets sketchy? You know, like, do you require all the money up front? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are some things to work, to look out for? Some red flags when you're going to a shop and you kind of feel like they're going to not get the job done or they're going to take your parts.
Usually they, you get referred from somebody else, you know? So if they're asking you for the full money up front, that's crazy, you know?
Yeah.
They still have to go through the with the process with the car. Like half right. up front, yeah, I dig it.
Right.
You know, parts, I try to do parts 100% because I shouldn't have to lay out for parts. This is your car.
Okay. So then you just pay for labor.
Yeah. Take care of that. You know, we take care of the labor. You know, usually I show everybody the progress of the car. Mm. Yeah, I'm real one-on-one with all my customers.
Right.
So
right.
Thank God that's how come. Yeah. I built my clientele base like that, so.
Okay.
And it's still like that, you know. I have a couple of guys that race, and I go one-on-one with them because, like, some of them never been to the track, so it's hard for them.
Yeah.
They don't understand. So that's I got to go there and be like, yo, this is what you got to do. Relax. Right. They're all nervous. You know, relax.
It can be stressful.
No, it is. Hell yeah. Because, you know, especially if you never took in a hit down the track before, see all these lights going on, and fucking you're on the two-step, the shit banging and popping. You got a helmet on. You're like, oh, shit.
It's intense.
Yeah.
It definitely gets intense. So now, one of the things that I remember from, like, being younger was people going to, there was a shop in Long Island called BYT, ran by Goldie. And we used to go there. We used to hang out there. And then we'd be street racing and come back to the shop. Was this a shop that was similar to that? Like, where people pull up here, you guys would link here.
Yeah.
Talk shit, obviously. And then
go out.
Go to the runs.
Go to the runs. Go to the meets over there and see who's racing, you know. It was real live back then. But the cars were a little bit, you know, I don't want to say slower, but 700-800 horsepower was fast.
I mean, it's still kind of fast.
Yeah, it is. It is. But back then, if you had that, you were top dog.
Now, how were you putting that down on the street, though? With the front-wheel drive car, right?
Yeah, at that time, nobody was really fucking with that weight bias shit. So people were just coming on some big balloon tires. I remember Cunha had candy. Shout out to Cunha, man. He used to come there in candy, and that shit used to come in like a muscle car, two big balloons up front. The shit was lifted in the front. He used to come through Avenue P laughing, like smiling at everybody. Like, we used to race anybody.
Yeah.
You know?
So weights, right?
Yeah.
That became a pretty big thing. When did you catch on to that when people were putting weights on the car to get more traction? Is that something that just like automatically you know to do, or?
Yes, yeah, so people started testing it.
Okay.
At first, and they were like, yo, it's working. Let's put more weight.
What were you guys using for weights?
At the time, we were filling a lead shot into the traction bar.
Lead shot?
Yeah, into the traction bar. And then, like, thick metal plates. You know those plates they use in the city?
Yeah.
On the floor, we were cutting those shits and mounting them in the front, stacking them. I have another trick too, but I'd rather not say. You know, so that's my
trick. You can't get this up.
Yeah, that's my trick.
So are those, do people still utilize those techniques?
Absolutely. Or? Absolutely. Yeah,
at the track and the street?
Yeah, absolutely. Now it's even worse because, you know, like, not worse, but like everybody knows you need a little bit of weight up front, especially with the front wheel drive cars.
But do they know how much weight? Like, when do you know how much weight? Is it based on power, weight of the car?
Yeah, it's chassis? All based on power too, you know. You can't put too much. And in the street, it's totally different, too. You can't have too much weight in the street. It's just because you have a ton of weight in the street, it's not going to work.
Really?
Yeah.
What makes it different on the street as opposed to the track?
It all depends where you're racing at. If it's asphalt, concrete, you know. it doesn't, the street does not stick like this track.
Oh, of course, of course.
Unless you have like a prep team out there prepping, but right. it still will never hook like the track.
Does a prep team actually matter on the street?
100%. Your prep team got to be A1.
So that's really a thing.
Yeah,
I know there's some people who like, they talk shit about that and they say like, you know, what the fuck you doing heating up the street?
That's real shit.
That's really a thing.
That's real shit, yeah. We used to be out there with torches, two guys, and I used to just tell them, just keep heating it up. Keep heating it up. Walk back and forth. Get it nice and tacky.
You've done a good amount of test passes to be able to figure this out, broke stuff, and I'm like obviously in the street, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we tried different preps, different glues, mm-hmm. like a couple guys make glue,
yeah.
and then we'll test it out, see how it hooks in like the cold weather, how it hooks in the, and if it's like 60, 70 out, because the car reacts different, you know?
So anytime you go out right now with your experience, you pretty much know exactly what to do. You know what prep to go for, you know exactly based off what asphalt you're on.
Yeah, where to put the guy, where to put the prep, not to put him back in the prep.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it's one of my guys, I know exactly what to do.
Based on where you're at?
Yeah.
That obviously, the years of you doing this stuff, does it give you like a big advantage over other people?
Absolutely. Because a lot of people, they go out there and they're just like, they don't know what they're doing. Car's crooked. Fucking, they're on the prep. They're pouring the prep right in front of the car and they're not putting it in the right spot. Now the shit's flying everywhere. Like, I've seen a lot of dumb shit. So it your crew matters.
Right. At the track too.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Now, would you say your experience on the track is the same as on the street?
Yeah, but like at the track, it's easier for me because a lot of the other guys are there and they know what to do. When they see me pull up, like shout out to the Preonto team. When they see me rolling up, they without a doubt, they come. Brandon, Lomax, Sway, Zion, they all run up and they're wiping down my tires already.
Yeah.
You know, they already know what's up. Some of my other guys, shout out to Thomas. He's my main guy. He knows he's been through the build since day one, since I bought the car. They know what to do. I don't got to tell them shit. When they see me pulling up, they know exactly what to do, which is a big help. You can't run a car like this without some sort of help.
No, you can't do it by yourself.
Nah, you can't. Impossible. It's too much to do. That's why when I go out, usually when we go racing, it's, every time we go racing, I'm with Fast Guy. Shout out to Fast Guy.
Yeah, I wish he was here, man.
Yeah, man. I tried to get him out here. I tried to get him out here, but he had to do some babysitting duties.
Nah, that's cool. We'll get him another time.
Yeah.
And he was on the Sleep Race podcast a couple times, so his story was kind of told. But I'm sure he's got way more stories. He's probably got so many experiences.
He has so many. We got so many funny stories, but I've been racing with that guy a long time, yo. He's a big reason why the car got done that fast, too.
Recently?
Recently when I wrecked it. He was hustling back and forth for me, giving it to, shout out to Ed from FFE, man. Thank you so much.
Ed, he's in Force Fed Ed?
He's in Long Island.
Yeah, Force Fed, Ed, okay. Yeah.
He fixed a lot of fucked up shit on my car.
Really?
Yeah, man. He's a beast, yo. He told me whatever I need to get to World Cup.
Yeah.
So shout out to him, man. Thank you so much.
Did you and Fast Guy link up the same time C's or?
C's bounced to Florida. He wanted to be with his family. And then me and Fast Guy always been cool.
Okay.
You know, he takes his car to Kev, full-time Fab, to do a lot of the Fab. Shout out to Kev. Shout out to Shaggy. Kev's my brother too. He does some of the Fab work on my car.
Okay.
When I'm too busy and I want certain things done, he handles it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's responsible for some of the shit on the car too.
Was Fast Guy around for some of those street races, those big ones back then?
Yeah, he was around. It's funny days, man.
Did you guys ever race each other?
Nah, not really.
I mean, did you guys have any interest to do that, or you guys were just
cool? soon we will. We have something coming up soon. He has some changes to his car, so for 2025 season, so hopefully you'll get a good pick of us.
Yeah. So what about the street racing days, no?
Nah, not in the street racing days. Well, you know what? We did race him one time. One of his boys' cars on 192, and it was one of our old motor cars. We were just fucking around.
Yeah.
Yeah, just for fun.
Who won that one?
I even forgot, man.
Yeah, you've had so many.
I have so many races.
This guy's had so many races. He literally can't remember.
I can't remember all of them, I swear to God.
How many races do you think you've had in your lifetime?
Bro, a lot, man. Between helping people and Yeah, I can't even remember, honestly. Yo. I wouldn't even put a number on it.
Oh, let's say, okay, over 100?
Yeah, definitely way over 100. Yeah, way over 100. I've been outside for a minute.
Five? Yeah. I'm seeing 500?
Yeah, even when I just go to help other people, you know? I like doing that too because, you know, I make sure they do good.
God damn. Yeah, okay, so that makes sense. And you probably can't. And a lot of the stuff probably wasn't even filmed.
Yeah, so a lot of it wasn't.
Yeah.
But some of it was. Yeah. Like, there was a no prep that we had went to last year. I was helping Cartoon. Shout out to Cartoon with his car. He was happy. You know, we know what we're doing. I know what I'm doing, at least, you know.
Yeah.
We try to help them do the most so they could win.
Right, right.
So.
So was there ever a, back then, was there ever a New York versus Jersey? And if there was, right, there probably most likely was, what was the biggest New York versus Jersey race you've had?
The biggest one I had was the one with Hansel. That was at English Town.
Okay.
Yeah.
But anything in the street?
Well, there's so many, man. There was so many. I can't even remember, bro. Like, we used to race OTL. Shout out to Steven and them. So many people we raced. I can't even remember one specific race, honestly, to keep it real with you.
Was there any race that, like, was really controversial? Maybe you got mad or something like that?
No, not really. The guys usually, like, at the end of the day, it was just street racing. We used to curse each other out, and then the following day, be like, yo, what's up?
Yeah.
Yeah, yo, fuck you, and all right, the following day, all right, what's up? We see each other. It is what it is, yo.
Sometimes you that know? Stuff, sometimes it gets a little sketchy. So, like, the I know Sonic was talking about the Nutty Money race, and it looked like there was some serious stuff happening there.
Yeah,
like,
but it was just all words. And at the end of the day, just niggas were just talking shit. That's it.
Yeah.
You know? Hyping it up. That was a good race too.
Yeah,
that was a good race for sure. Yeah, I was busy help making sure all my guys were straight, so. But that was definitely.
And you weren't driving, were you?
I was driving that race too. I had my all-wheel drive car there, and I raced Cacho. Shout out to Cacho. I raced him in his red coupe. Everybody knows that red coupe. That red coupe raced that white Porsche, and you know, it's all good history, racing history.
I think he should be out soon, no?
Yeah. Bring that car. He says that. He goes, you're my big brother. He told me I spoke to him. Shout out to him, man. He's cool. Mad cool. Love
so,
that guy.
Are you planning on doing any runs with him? Or?
You never know. He said he said he's getting ready. He's gearing up. So, you know, he go hard and everything. So, hopefully he comes out and we could get some racing going.
Dope. So, with the EG that you had at the track, right? How long did you have that car for and how long were you running that car at the track?
I've had that car for like 8 years.
8 years?
Yeah. It went through a lot of phases. Mm-hmm. B, then it went K-Series Turbo, all front-wheel drive. And then after a while, it was just like, I got bored. I was like, nah. I saw Steve with the all-wheel drive car. He was the trendsetter.
Who's Steve?
CLM Steve.
Oh, okay.
CLM guys.
Yeah,
they set the trend right there with that all-wheel drive car. That changed my mind automatically. When I saw the car take off, I was like, yeah, fuck this front wheel drive shit. This ain't for me. I want to feel that. I want to feel that shit go like this and whoa. I want to feel that. Pause.
Was it?
Yeah.
So so when you see that, right, was it like a known thing? Like this is the part, these are the parts you need for it? Or did you ask him? Like how?
Yeah, he put me on. He was like, yo, we need this. You need this. And that's it. Take a swing for it. And I was like, I'm doing it.
Now, there was no like proven numbers yet with how much that can hold, right?
Yeah.
At the time,
they were like, the Cali guys, I think, were the first ones with an all-wheel drive car. It was a blue EG.
I asked that before, too. And it's people don't really know, I guess.
Yeah, they don't remember, but I remember. It was Cali. Cali had that, but Cali couldn't. They didn't figure it out. They figured it out at the end once the East Coast guys figured it out. Cunha figured it out. You know, that car was fast at the time. He was the first one out, and that was the first car that went sevens. After that, I jumped on the bandwagon. I was like, I gotta feel that.
And what's the fastest you can go on front wheel drive with these cars? Or what is the record?
Right, 7.6.
7.6 front wheel drive.
Front wheel drive, I think it is.
That's still pretty fast, though.
I think it's like, Chapuling's son. That was Chapuling's son, I think it was. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Michael's car went 7.6 or 7.7. His car was fast too. Shout out to those guys, man. The list is mean right now. That top 10 list is mean. If you don't have a 740 car, you can't get on that list.
But it's just crazy how like how close in times they are between a front wheel drive and four wheel drive. It's like not. So I didn't know it was a 7.6 for front wheel drive.
That's fast.
And that's turbo, of course, right?
Yeah, obviously. It's turbo.
K series.
K. I think it's B series.
Oh, it's B series.
I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I think it's B series. Both cars are B series.
The only benefits you would have out of an Ola drive is pretty much just the traction and taking off.
The traction, the takeoff.
And you'd get like, I'm assuming like a better 60 foot.
Yeah.
Which obviously makes the time difference.
Yeah.
And get you a little bit lower.
Yeah.
What's like the next phase for Hondas right now? I mean, I feel like there's not much more you can do. What else is there to do to kind of get those times down?
The processes and then the computers get better and the computers itself get faster.
Okay.
Your tune is important, obviously. Shout out to Abraham. Rated R. That's my brother, man. He got this thing flying. And everybody knows it because, honestly, I don't have a lot with the parts-wise on this car. I don't have fancy stuff. It's all regular
shelf stuff
that you could buy.
No custom.
No custom, no billet. The only thing billet is the trans casing.
Well, is anybody running custom stuff in the Hondas, though?
People are trying like different heads, ported heads and shit like that. Different cams. And a lot of the all-wheel drive cars are sequential. I'm still a four-speed, so I still got to shift the car. So it's easier with the sequential. I seem the sequential guys are going faster, without a doubt. Frustrated, he's fast. Shout out to Danny.
Yeah, I was there for that. I was there for that race you guys had recently.
He's cool. Shout out to Peepa. Peepa's my brother.
Yeah, Peepa's cool too.
Yeah, man, cool peoples, bro. Cool peoples. A lot of people have a lot of different motor setups, and I talk to a lot of the all-wheel drive cars.
Yeah.
And everybody's some cars are set up different than others.
Right.
What works for you won't work for me. Different tire pressures, you know, shit like that. One guy might use this tire pressure, and if I try to use that tire pressure, it does not work.
You also have a different chassis. You're an EK coupe. So I don't know how much of a difference, weight difference that is. Is it similar, lighter?
Some of the guys hang weight in front. Some people don't.
In the EK coupes?
Yeah. Well, and no matter what car it is.
Okay.
You know, that's how they just want to set up the car, and they hang more weight up in the front. That's some of it is also to make weight in a class. Like if they want to go to a certain class, they have to make up the weight, so they'll add the weight up front.
Okay, you're giving out all the gems here, man. Yeah. So I ask it for the viewers because they're not gonna probably go up to somebody and ask them at a show because they're probably intimidated or you know.
No, definitely don't feel intimidated. Come up to my pit. You could come and chill. You know, we cool. I invite everybody. Like come and see the car. You know,
That's how I met you.
Yeah,
you're pretty inviting. So
yeah, I like when the kids come in. I throw them in the driver's seat. You know, let them take pictures.
Yeah, take photos
cool,
and
man.
Stuff.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, you never know what they might want to do. You know, that might be their thing. You know, you gotta let the kids just enjoy it. You know.
Yeah, because not everybody grows up like around that either.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't. So for me, it's like the only way I can learn is to ask questions.
Yeah.
So just don't be scared to ask questions, guys.
Yeah, I don't mind. People come to our pit all the time, and they're intimidated. They'll stop before going in, and I'll just be like, "Yo, just come in. You want to see the car? You want to whatever you want to see? Look at it." Some people want to see the setup. Like in World Cup, a lot of people came to see the car.
I think it was. This past one?
Yeah.
Okay.
This World Cup, a lot of people from all over the country came to see the car. People from Antigua. My one of my boys from Dubai came.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My boy, he flies out from Dubai. He didn't want me to shout him out, but he knows what he's talking about. He knew that's my boy. Comes and watches me race. I appreciate that a lot.
So what was the inspiration with this car? What made you want to...
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
switch from going with the EG hatch to this?
It was a safety thing. The EG hatch only had a 10-point.
Okay.
You know, we were going and we were breaking cert. And they would tell us at the track, slow down, slow down. So they seen us pedal in the car until they finally was like, you know, we can't let you do this anymore. You know,
right.
You're going too fast. It's for your own safety.
Now, before we get into a little bit more with that, how important is it to have a cage in your car, right? Whether you're street racing or if you're drag racing, you probably have to at certain speeds, right?
Yeah.
But if you're street racing, how important is it to have a cage in your car? And I guess how much it costs to put a cage in your car, along with what you should be looking at? Because I don't really know anything about putting a cage in the car either, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Well, putting a cage in your car is very important nowadays because the cars got way faster. You know, and then I know a lot of the old motor guys, they cut the shit out of the fucking car. So there's no structure to the car anymore, you know. God forbid something happens, you know.
So it basically keeps the car together.
Yes.
For the most part.
Yeah. Nowadays, it's easier to buy a car that's been being parted out that has a cage in it.
Okay.
It's cheaper that way. But other people don't want to do that because they want to keep their chassis. Like, they have a sentimental value to the car. So
right.
They want the cage done to that car.
Right.
An average cage from scratch is easily $3,500 and up.
Okay, that's not
yeah,
too bad.
From what, and that's just with, like, a basic 10-point. And that's from, like, the local guys that fab around here.
Yeah.
And that's just a starting thing.
And that gets mounted to certain parts of the car where to just give it more reinforcement.
Yeah.
In those areas.
God forbid the car rolls and you're in it, you'll be safe.
Do you know anything about the different materials?
Most of the times they do chromoly. You're going to want to do your cage chromoly. You don't want to use mild steel and shit like that. It just makes the car heavier.
Now, is there a difference in strength between?
The chromoly is stronger and it's lighter.
So stronger and lighter.
Yeah.
Now, is there any flex at all with any of these materials or anything like that? Like, are they like rock solid? There's a
yeah, they're rock. They're rock solid. They'll save your life for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, God forbid you roll the car and you're in there, and if you're strapped in right, you should be okay. You know.
So with the safety of like the lack of, well, it's not lack of safety, but you wanted to go faster, so that's why you obviously went to this.
Yeah, I like my life. You know.
Yeah.
I don't want to risk something, especially when you should know you're gonna need that.
Right.
You know, don't take the chance. Just do it. You know, or buy something done already and swap all your stuff over. That's what people want to save money. That's the cheapest way. Buy a shell, find something that has a cage, something body parted out, take all your shit, put it in there. Easiest way. Also, you got to make sure you fit in the car because sometimes they do the cage per person.
Ah, okay. And this is obviously a full cage.
Yes, this is a 25.5.
What, 25.5?
Yeah, 25.5 cage. It's like you could go more with a bigger cage. A better cage, but that's what we need to run the class is a 25.5.
Got you. Okay, now what if you can't afford a full cage in your car, right?
You could put a 6-point. You could put a 6-point, I think.
And that'll still keep you safe for the most part.
I don't want to say safe, but it's better than having nothing.
Right.
You know.
So something is better than nothing.
Yeah, something is always better than nothing. I strongly suggest everybody that's rocking outside. Everybody knows who's rocking outside.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really got to say, just, you know, make sure y'all safe, man. Everybody seen what had just recently happened to One Stock, you know, rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace to One Stock.
All his family and friends, man. That shit is just whack, man. You know, he was doing good.
Yeah.
Get your safety shit up, man. Don't play with that shit. Just buy something that got a cage. If it takes a little longer, just, you know.
Right.
This shit ain't going nowhere. The streets is here. Everything's here.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's true.
Take your time, man. Get it done. Nobody wants to lose you, you know?
No, absolutely. I had somebody come up to me recently at GTR Festival, and they said they love the channel, but, you know, you never talk about safety on there.
Yeah,
it's super big, man. It's true. I mean, that situation is huge. It definitely changed a lot of people's, like, you know, perception on a lot of things and kind of made people want to, you know, go an extra mile and be safe. But safety should be prioritized when...
Absolutely.
You're racing, whether you're in the streets or drag racing, for sure.
Absolutely. When I strap in there, the guys know, put me tight. Like,
yeah.
Strap me into the chair, because once I drop that clutch, it's a crazy ride.
Yeah.
You know?
No, 100%. 100%. So now with the safety situation all figured out, right? What has changed from that setup to this one?
What, from the hatch?
Yeah, from the hatch to this, aside from the safety features.
Yeah, we went with a bigger motor. We put a bigger motor, bigger turbo, better computer system. The car's on a Motec M130.
This is on the Motec?
Yeah.
The last one was a Motec too?
No, that one was on an AEM.
Ah, okay.
So it was like a big jump.
For was me. That on an AEM most of its life?
Yeah.
Okay. Which so, obviously is, you know, I don't want to say, it is old tech.
Yeah, it's outdated already.
Yeah, it's outdated. You know? So now you have the Motec.
Yeah, it's Motec M130. The whole car is Motec. Wired by Nikki Wires. Toxic Wiring, shout out to Nikki. Tuned by, obviously, you know, Abraham Rated R.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bigger motor. It's a 24 D-stroke to a 2.2, a 92 millimeter crank, aluminum rods, pistons. It's a sport front-wheel drive setup, but all-wheel drive.
So it's D-stroked.
Yeah, D-stroked.
What are the benefits of running a D-stroke motor?
You could swing the motor harder and still make the torque of a 24.
What type of rods would you have in that setup?
It's aluminum rods.
Aluminum rods. Yeah. Now, how many passes do those last for?
I log my hits.
Okay.
The last motor before I let go, it had like at least 35 hits. A lot of fucked up hits where I was banging the limiter and, you know, shit that you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
It has a lot of hits. So we have to log it because these motors, because they're making so much power now, it takes double the maintenance.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's why I asked. So 35 is pretty, that's pretty good though.
Yeah.
That's a good amount. And especially if it lives most of its life on the track.
Yeah.
I'm assuming. Any other benefits? Aside
it's expensive.
From,
ain't no benefit.
It's expensive.
Yeah, but they make good jam with it.
How expensive is it?
My short blocks cost me, I want to say like $6,500, and that's okay. on the cheaper side, because you know sometimes I get people that help me and they give me the parts, mm-hmm. you know, a little cheaper, you know, because they want to see the car do good. So
right. And what turbo setup is it on?
It's on a custom turbo kit. Custom front mount turbo manifold.
As far as the fab, but as the turbo itself isn't.
It's a Garrett turbo.
Okay.
Shout out to the guys at Garrett. Shout out to Preonto Racing. Norris put me on. Took me under the wing in the beginning of the year. He said, yo, we're going to try some turbos out. And, you know, we've been testing.
One of the cool things that I remember about this, I mean, the hood's not open now, if I can remember, was the way you have the piping setup, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You had to run it through the chassis.
Usually, it looks like, everybody says it looks like a B-Series setup.
Yeah.
But it's a K. That's when they see the hood open, they're surprised.
What was the inspiration of having, you know, the piping setup, the fab setup, the way you have it? Just to be different?
Yeah, it was just to be different. And we were trying to figure out some back pressure issues.
Ah,
so
okay.
Abe was like, maybe we should try to put the turbo up front and let's see what happens. And then luckily when I bought the car,
yeah,
the setup was like that already. So the turbo used to be on its side over here.
Mm-hmm.
I took it back out. And I moved it over here because we were having issues with the turbo over
so
there.
So you just moved it closer to the cooler core.
Yeah. We had to change the cooler. We had to redo some of the fab, but it wasn't that bad.
You said you were having back pressure issues. Did you try? I mean, that's stupid to say. Did you try? But like, was the change in the hot side have any effect on that at all?
Making yeah, we put a bigger hot side.
Before you moved it.
Yeah. And it helped it. So we figured it out with that. And it's a big ass turbo.
What was it?
I'm just gonna say it's an 80.
Wait, yeah. Is that like a secret?
No, it's not a secret. It's just, you know.
Well, don't you have to have a certain turbo or turbo size?
In the class that I'm in, there's really no rules right now. Yeah.
And so what class is this?
It's the stick shift class that would be in World Cup. There's really no rules for that.
So you can run whatever turbo you want.
Whatever turbo, nitrous, no weight. It's just whatever. Run with your brung type shit. I'm in a killer class. Those cars are fucking 6 second cars.
And you can run anything. So yeah. There's no, what rules are there?
Your safety rules.
That's it?
Yeah. No turbo.
Oh, I might have to start.
But those are some fast motherfuckers on there. Trust me. There's some fast cars
know that.
There.
Yeah, hell yeah. Damn, I didn't know that. Okay, so yeah. So then at that point, you probably would, because you're not going to be running in a class where everyone's running the same turbo.
Yeah.
Right? So you can, all right, I got you. So you don't want to talk about that. I got you. You want to keep that a secret. So it's an 80.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you have that you feel is different from most Hondas or makes you faster than others?
Not really. I don't have nothing special, you know?
Are you the only, a fast guy has an EK too, but are you the,
yeah.
There's not too many EK coupes running, right?
No, there's a couple.
Most of them are like hatches. EGs?
Yeah, some of them are hatches. There's some coupes out there too. Yeah.
Now, between the EG hatch or the EG and the EK, what is better to race at the track with?
Everybody has their own preference, you know. A lot of people are using EKs now because of the wheelbase. Okay. Got a longer wheelbase on the coupes.
So it's better for like for keeping the car in control, or
yeah, and launching the car and the better wheelbase, you know, so the car hooks up better.
What's the record on this chassis?
122, 60 foot.
Okay, so 122, yeah. 60 foot, and then yeah. what was ET?
7.4 at 191.
That's the record.
Yeah, on this chassis. And well, on my car, that's the fastest. Car. Yeah, that's the fastest I went.
So who has the record for
Speed Factory? The top
on the EK
10
coupe?
No, not EK coupe. They have a EG hatch.
Oh no, I meant like with this chassis.
Oh, with this chassis, I don't
even
know
how much of a factor it plays into like times or ETs or anything like that. But
this chassis, I don't know honestly.
This you're the fastest EK coupe?
Oh yeah, I guess I don't know. I don't really, you know, base it off that.
Well, I'm just the cars that you see mostly is like I said, EGs, yeah, the hatches. But for me, it's just like fast guy. I mostly see fast guy and you with the EK coupe. Yeah. So I wasn't sure if it had any you know factor in times or anything like that between the chassis. Right. You know what I'm saying? So how much power do you think your car makes? I'm not sure if you dynoed it or if you do like more.
We tuned it on paper with the old turbo. It made 1564, yeah. That was at like 55 pounds. We strapped a bigger 80 on it. Abraham says we're around 75 pounds, man. We didn't retune it at all, so he says it's gotta be making 1718 around there.
1700 horsepower.
Yeah, 1718. He goes guaranteed it's making 1718.
But you're not going down the track with that, are you?
Yeah, it's all we let it hang out.
So how the hell are you hooking? Is that the Motec that's keeping it in check, or it's
Abraham basically? You know, he does all the, he sets the car up. He's there watching the car and he knows what to do.
What, so
I just got to drive. That's it.
So what gear is this, all this power coming in at?
Like the top of first into second. If you ever heard this car in second, it's violent. It has everything inside. So, I'm like, shit, this shit pins me back.
I saw at, I think it was H day. I think yeah. you kind of, I don't know if it was torque steering or what, yeah. whatever happened into the center. I mean, it happened twice, no?
Yeah. We were having issues with the car. With this type of car, you have to constantly go over the car.
Every time you pack.
Every time, yeah. Before an event. Yeah. The rack and pinion had came loose and I didn't even know.
So which
car,
one?
On this car.
No, I'm saying which run?
The 7.4 pass.
Damn, that's
so
scary.
The car was pulling and I was just trying to correct it because I thought it was because of the power.
So you were fighting it the whole time?
Yes, I was fighting it the whole time. It still made a good lick. I let out early. And he was like, Jesus Christ, what the hell? And I was like, I was just fighting the car the whole way. But, you know, it kind of went straight. But it was a fun pass. I like when the car fights me like that, kind
of. I see you. You've been fighting the car the past couple events.
Yeah.
It's like, it gets pretty intense. A little scary.
Yeah.
But
it, like, again, it depends on the track. You know, I set the car per track.
Right.
So
I've only seen your car at Maryland.
Yeah.
So both, I think, World Cup and obviously H Day.
It ran good in New England at H Day. And then
I didn't go to that one.
Yeah. It ran good up there. Both times, H Day in Maryland, it ran good over there too. So
what happened with the run with Frustrate?
Oh, the car pulled hard left. I don't know why. I felt maybe I was out of the groove a little bit.
Okay.
And when it pulls way too hard like that, I try not to stay in it because it could turn out bad. So I just...
So just like the way you staged the car.
Yeah. So I just, you know, I had to let out.
And then I think that wasn't you guys raced again after that, no?
That was at H Day, I think.
But you guys did two passes against each other?
No, I only got one off of him.
Didn't you red light one of them?
Was it? I think. I don't even remember.
Okay, I know. I know there was one because I remember...
I probably
saw you
rolled
after.
The light. Yeah,
I rolled saw the you light. After you said you got a little too anxious.
Yeah. I tried to. The thing is, the turbo's big in on my car.
Okay.
So I have to load it up early and then come in.
Right.
So a lot of people don't understand that. They think I just get on it and then pull in. It doesn't work like that.
Hmm.
You know.
So did something like that happen recently at World Cup with Cletus?
Yeah, they were crying that I fucking burnt them down. You fucking cry, baby. Fucking cry, baby. Yeah, I swear to fucking God.
So I saw, I was actually in Frustrates area because I was watching the race from, I was actually watching it on TV. And I thought something was wrong with like the light because it was like flickering from where I saw it. So I'm like, oh shit, something's wrong. I'm like, why is he on the...
Yeah, and that happened to him too. And that happened to a couple people. I don't know if it was something on that lane. They were just trying to blame something on my car, maybe because it was just a Honda.
Yeah.
But they were saying I was burning them down, and I didn't burn them down at all.
So can you explain why you weren't burning, like why, it's kind of weird to ask, but like, why wasn't that a burn down?
Because he got his own gas and brake.
Okay.
He didn't have to go all the way in. He could have waited. He didn't. He just went right in.
Right.
You know, if he would have stood back, I would have understood and I would have came in. I would have staged first. But he didn't. He went all the way in.
Mm-hmm.
I know how much time I have. Right. His car's faster. I know it is. That's not my fault. You have a gas and brake just like me, bro. You should have not went in. That's a rookie fucking move. And I took advantage of it. It's not my fault.
So as you were bumping in, you already saw him kind of deep stage in. He was already like on the two-step. So at that point, did your instinct kick in and say, all right, well, I'm just going to let him...
Oh, I was like, oh, he's fucked. What a... You're a fucking... You're a fucking... Why did you do that? I was like, what a... Why? It's not my fault, bro. It's racing. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to make friends. Yeah. I got enough friends. Go yourself.
So it seems like... Okay, if this was anybody else, right... Because you seem to be like really like agitated about it, right? So if this was anybody else and that happened, would you still have this kind of energy towards that race?
Not really. You know why I have that type of energy? Because the guy's a fucking prick. You know, at the end of the race, fucking gets out his car, slams his door like a little kid. Like, come on, bro. Like, it's only a race, bro. I legit go every year just to have fun, man. It's not that serious. Slammed his door like a little kid. You know,
so you went up to his car after.
No, actually, my Hans was stuck and I was trying to get it out. And he was just like ignoring the fact I was right behind him. And he just didn't look up at me. He looked down and walked around the car and like, damn, bro, it's not that serious. You know, my guys came and they were happy for me that I won. And I was like, yo, just hook up the car and let's get the fuck out of here.
So is that a common thing when you get to the end of the track?
Absolutely. You guys, you I always shake the next man's hand like, yo, good race. Win or lose, bro. Don't be a sore fucking loser. Sore loser, bro. That's not even the worst of it. Nobody knows about this. Second round the following day, he comes up to me like a fucking giraffe on a scooter, fucking comes up to me. Hey, dude, you don't know how to stage your car? I was like, obviously I do. I'm going into fucking second round, you fucking... Then he just fucking rolls off.
Wait, this happened after?
Yeah. The following day, I'm going up to second round. He came up to me. I was like, you arrogant motherfucker. And I was trying to fucking like get out of my car. And then he just scoots out. And I was like, you know what? Let me just calm the fuck down, bro. Like, what a cocky motherfucker, bro. It's not my fault you went in, bro. On top of that, they messed up on the tune. The car spun off the line. And he tried to get back in it again. And then it spun again. It's not my fault I went around you, bro.
Damn.
Shit, some corny shit.
Prior to the race... Did you try to shake his hand or anything, or try to like, you know, say
no? I saw that he had a crazy attitude. Like, I understand you lost, all right, bro, but it's not that serious. I lost the second round after.
Well, before racing him though, like before you guys, because obviously people, when you're staging, you guys are hanging out, you know.
Yeah, we were hanging out, and he was there. He was doing his little vlog thing, and I was like, "Yo, that's a cool Fiero," and then he giggled. But, you know, after that, he didn't want to shake my hand. The following day, he did that dumbass shit. Like, come on, bro.
You don't think, like, he was just mad at his car? Do you think that, like, you think he's mad at you or, like, you know, the situation?
No, he should have been mad at himself. Nobody told you to go in. You should have been mad at yourself. Don't be mad at me. Nobody told you to go in, bro. You should have lit the first bulb and waited. Then all his fanboys are on my back like, ah, you burnt them down. I ain't burned nobody down. If I would have burnt them down, the shit would have went red, and that's it. Simple. It didn't go red. I went around him. He fucked his tune up. It's not my fault.
So do you think that he should, obviously you can't speak for another man, right?
Yeah, I can't.
But Do you think that he should, or he should have addressed the situation because of the fans coming onto your page?
Nah, I don't give a fuck, yo. Honestly, I'm over it. Yeah, I'm over it. I don't give a fuck about none of that. I don't do this for clout. He does this for YouTube. I don't have a YouTube channel. All this shit I pay out of my pocket. I don't care. I could care less about none of this shit that's going on, you know? Just like trolling his fans. That's it. I have fun with that because, you know, they stick up for him like they know him, bro. It's crazy. I got people flagging my page for no reason. Like, you burnt them down. Guys don't have you on this page. Guys don't fucking race. Guy got a fishing pole. Talking about racing.
Yeah, a fishing pole is crazy.
I'm not going to the next guy's page. You burnt them down. Go to his page. This guy's painting. Fuck you guys know about racing. Nothing. Zero. But you commenting? This shit is crazy.
Oh, man. let's say if the race would have went the other way around, how do you think the outcome would have been?
I bet you he would have came and shook my hand. I would have still shook his hand because I'm not like that. You know what I'm saying? Win or lose, I'm going to shake your hand. Yo, good race. That's it.
Okay. Now, what about his fans? I'm saying, like, do you think that his fans would have, like, been celebrating the fact that he beat a Honda?
Of course. They would have been like, that piece of shit, Honda. Take that shit the fuck up out of here. Bro, it's just because it was a Honda that won. That's why they hate, bro. And that's it.
At this point, he never reached out to you. You guys haven't spoken. Nothing like that. The whole event, you guys just didn't speak after that comment that he made. And that was it.
Yeah.
So at any point, which who knows if it'll happen, if you know, will you guys come to, you know, some type of common ground and kind of squash everything? Or if he comes up to you at some point?
I don't really care. If it does, it does. If it doesn't, oh, I'm not losing no sleep. Trust me. I don't really give a fuck either way. Like, I hate people's attitudes like that. I'm not like that, you know? I will never be like that. All that fucking bougie shit, keep that shit on your side. I don't give a fuck.
So what do you think it is about Hondas that people just still don't have respect for them?
I don't know. I guess just because it's a Honda, you know? That's it. You know, people like domestic cars. Some people like Hondas. We love Hondas.
But running 7 seconds, like, is that not fast enough to be respected?
Yeah, of course. You know, it's not easy. Trust me. Like, everybody struggles. Like, everybody knows how this is.
Yeah.
This is hard work. Stressful, long nights, you know? We were in World Cup dropping the trans at 6 a.m. because it needed a clutch.
After that pass, or?
Yeah, after I made a pass and the clutch started slipping. And we had no choice. We had to drop the trance. Finished at like 6:30 a.m. They started calling people up at like 8:00 already. You hear the announcer. I'm like, fuck. Didn't even get an hour's sleep.
Shit.
Yeah, it's a lot of hard work, man.
So no matter what platform, it's always...
Yeah, it's always work. No matter what platform. At this level, it's a lot of maintenance. You got to have a couple guys with you. You know, you just got to have the drive to do it.
Right, right. So after that pass with Cletus, right? You went to obviously the next round, right?
Yeah.
And you raced a Mustang?
A Mustang, yeah. I lost to a Mustang.
So on that pass, was it a clean pass for you? Did you have any issues?
Nah, I was started having issues. I lost boost again. We've been testing this turbo, and then I lost boost. So we usually see like 75 pounds. Mm-hmm. It only seemed like 40.
Ah, shit.
So.
Do you think you would have won?
You never know what would have happened. I know he had it cranked up. I know that. You know, we missed the tune. The turbo went bad, so there's nothing I could do. I don't cry about it. That guy's fucking back glass came off and flew right past my windshield. Like, it blew out and it flew right past my windshield. I was like, yo, what the fuck? As soon as I got out, I was like, yo, dude, you okay? What the fuck? He was like, yo, I didn't even know that. He didn't even hear it, that it popped out. It's like, your whole back glass is missing.
God damn. I don't think I saw it.
Yeah, that was a badass car.
And
I think it went 7-1 or some shit like that, yeah.
That's pretty fast.
No, it's fast.
Pretty quick, yeah.
Again, man, that class is fast.
Yeah.
You can't have a slow car, you know. I was just going. I joined that class because I'm just trying to go get further down the list of the top 10 list.
Ah, okay. So you had, you know, with your setup, you can just do whatever you want. You don't have to worry about any limitations or anything like that. So after that event, right, obviously we had World Cup. What's next for you now? What event do you have next coming up? With this car?
Honestly, I'm not even sure yet. We're gonna go to PRI, talk to a couple companies.
Okay.
About seeing helping with the car this year. And hopefully maybe the first Honda day I'll be out, or the first Cecil track testing tune to test some stuff out. We're gonna put a new turbo on it.
Bigger turbo?
Bigger turbo, yeah. We're gonna try to turn it up just a little bit more. You gotta see how much the cast will hold, cast block, because it's no billet here.
Wait, so you're making 1700 on a cast block?
Yes.
This gotta be some trick or something, bro.
There's no trick. On a non-ported head, stock K20 head, I'll bet anybody anything. I'll take the motor apart right here in front of anybody.
1700 on a cast block. No billet, nothing.
Nothing. The only thing billet is the bell housing on the trans.
What sleeves?
Golden Eagle sleeves.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So do you feel like that plays a major part of
No, the it major together? Part that keeps it together is the tuner.
Okay.
Yeah. He's going to know how much to push it or not. Without Abe, fuck, I'd be lost, man. Fuck.
Does he tune Natty Racing's car?
Yes.
The tall
Yes.
Guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I spoke to him at World Cup. Yeah.
He tunes, humble guy.
Yeah. He tunes a lot of fastest cars. Definitely knows what he's doing.
Yeah, no, he definitely knows what he's doing, for sure. He's been with this car for a long time, since day one.
So you had the car recently, which I think I skipped over, but it blew up at the track. Yeah. I think it was a Fast Fest?
Fast Fest Live, yeah.
Right.
In Cecil County.
So can you talk about what happened with that?
It was a no prep. So up top, it wasn't really glue up there. So the car got out of shape on me. So I lifted and I got back on it. It could have been my fault. The fuel pump belt was a little loose.
Mm-hmm.
It flew off. Then I just clicked the next gear and I kept going. And I didn't know, you know. And
oh, shit.
Boom. It was like a big grenade. That shit. I lost like 90% of the fucking setup.
Was that, were you racing somebody or was test pass?
I was racing somebody. I was racing Joey Built, matter of fact. And he got out on me. I came back around him and then the car got out of shape, out of the lane. So I got it back together and I stood back on it.
Mm-hmm.
Then when the motor popped, it pushed the hood up and it smashed the windshield. It crushed the roof, popped both my fucking driver's and passenger window. It broke a lot of shit.
Damn, okay.
And that was like a month away from World Cup.
So you had 1 month.
Exactly.
To get this car.
Yeah. She needed a roof. It needed a full motor. It literally took everything out besides the cams. Broke the transfer case.
Sheesh.
Shout out to GP1 Racing, Mark P. He helped out with some parts for the trans. He was like, I know you really want to go. So he hooked me up. Thank God I got everything together. Shout out to Jace Composites, Chris. He was like, yo, I'll put the order in and make sure they can get a roof done, because it was like, those are like kind of special order stuff. They don't keep that stuff in stock.
Right. You know?
So that was my biggest worry. Then thank God I had a spare motor to the side. We had to buy everything else around it because it just shredded everything. But we got it back together. Guys at Garrett sent me another turbo, strapped another turbo on it, and we didn't even tune. I put the motor together, bring it to the track. Abe was like, you should be good. Take a hit.
So it took 1 month, because I know we were trying to set up an interview then.
Yeah.
And you're like, I just blew my motor or whatever, so I'm trying to figure out how I can make it to World Cup. So you had that time span, you had everything done, and you had what? You just got it done a week before World Cup, or literally a couple days before?
Yeah, literally a couple days before World Cup.
Shit.
Grinding. A friend of mine, Nelson, helped me put the roof on. He does all the fit and finish on the car. Mm. Make sure everything doesn't fly off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he helps me a lot. Shout out to him, man. But yeah, man, this shit fucked everything up. Roof, two windows, windshield, hood. We needed a new hood and basically a whole new motor. It even lit up the intake manifold. It peeled it open.
What?
Yeah.
You got footage of this?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Everybody saw it
on the video.
That shit got about 1 million views on Instagram.
Wow.
Crazy. People love destruction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't hide nothing. I don't give a fuck.
That's cool though. Yeah. I think that's why people respect you. Yeah. What do you do? You know, and before you had that pass, you were in negotiations with somebody from Street Outlaws.
Yeah.
That pass.
Farm truck, man. We were supposed to race. They tried to negotiate. They didn't know we had the G2. They tried to negotiate a crazy race.
So what were the steps for that one?
They wanted to set me out six cars in the track. And then I couldn't leave till he passed me. Yeah, exactly. Look at your face.
The six cars sounded exactly good. And then I was like, wait, what? That doesn't make any sense. What's the
on a truck that probably has like three kits of nitrous.
Do you know
in the eighth, not the quarter too?
Oh, in the eighth.
In the eighth. That doesn't even make no sense.
Is that as far as it got with negotiations?
Yeah, because after that, the next pass, I told him, you know, let me test something. We were testing out something. We were seeing how the track was because the temperature changed, and that's when the motor broke.
And you were willing to let him, you know?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't giving him that. No, we were in negotiations.
Six cars.
Yeah, I wasn't giving him six cars.
So what would you... Wait, you would have gave him six cars?
No. Or he wanted to sit me out six cars.
Right, right.
And then I can't move until he passes me.
Right. So what did you want? What were your
head up on that?
Heads up.
Yeah. Head up in the eighth, because I know that truck is fast in the eighth.
You know what his setup is by any chance off the top of your head?
I don't know, honestly. I know it's a big motor, three kits probably. And heads up. Tried to sneak over there. Asian was blocking me. What's up, buddy? I was like, nothing. Looking, seeing how many kits. I only saw one up top. They probably had another one hiding. You never know.
So you feel like it would have been a fair race heads up?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you think you would have been the winner? You would have took the W in
that. I'm not going to say I would have been the winner, but it would have been a good race. You know, people want to see a heads up race.
No, it's definitely more exciting. You know?
Come on, farm truck, cut it out. Asian, tell your boy, head up.
So are we going to see that run now that your car is together and you have
hopefully
a different setup?
Hopefully next Fast Live. Yeah, we could try to do something. I'll do it off the trailer.
Off the trailer is great.
Yeah. It's going to be a no prep.
Anybody else you want to race or anybody you feel like would be a good lineup for you?
This league is
kind of tough, right?
Yeah, it's kind of tough right now. Everybody's so close, you know. A lot of the all-wheel drive guys are real cool. We're all cool.
Yeah,
you
know?
So we share info and shit. We just, you know, we're fighting on that list. That's all. That top 10 list is mean.
Who's the most exciting driver on that list?
That Speed Factory car is a mean motherfucker. Man.
Speed Factory.
Yeah. That's a mean car.
I agree. You know?
We always used to look up to them, you know. It's hard to catch somebody like that, you know. Especially that I do this. This is all my stuff. This is out of pocket.
Yeah.
You know. I don't have no big backing. This is just straight me.
Are you using any of the parts that they manufacture or they make?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
How much faster can we go in a Honda?
I don't know, man. As the electronics get better and parts get better and they make better turbos and cars, you see every year, cars get faster and faster.
Right.
Who the fuck think a Honda was going to be in low 7 seconds? Never mind a 6 second Honda.
Especially back in
the day. If you would have told me that 10 years ago, I'd be like, get the fuck out of here.
So nines were more...
Yeah, more realistic eights. Seven sixes? Nah. 10 years ago, you would have told me that, I would have been like, nah. Now I have one of the cars.
Right.
You know, so
right.
It's crazy. It was a fun ride.
So what's next for you in this new year for 2025? What are we planning or what are we expecting to see from your car?
Car to go faster.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. That's basically it. I try to go to as much events as I can that work will allow me. But, you know, sometimes it's hard. But the sponsors that I have, you know, just make them happy.
Too, right.
You know, shout out to Vibrant Performance, Drive Shaft Shop. A lot of guys, man, they helped me out big time, bro. Like, Drive Shaft Shop jumped on board at the end, like, the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And they helped me out big time, you know.
That's so dope.
Yeah. Put in a lot of work, man. This year, I put in a lot of work.
No, I could tell. I could tell without even seeing it. But like I said, every time we try to schedule something, or even at the track, you're definitely dedicated to this. So it's definitely dope to see for sure.
No, I appreciate it, man. We're definitely gonna hit some Honda days and some other events. Obviously, World Cup. That's the biggest one at the end of the year.
Right.
You know, shout out to Jason Miller. That was a crazy event. Every year, you see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a crazy event.
I'm glad the weather was much better this year. Last year was cold. And I'm sure there's been colder years. Last year was my first year going. This year was much better weather.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely an event to definitely be at for sure.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who watch the channel actually went to that event for the first time after listening to the podcast. So it's definitely one of the better events for sure. Do you see yourself going to, well, there's no Hondas that really race at TX2K, right?
Yeah. Miles races all the time.
Miles, Joanna.
Yeah, she raced.
And I think there's the other dude with the Ola Drive Honda. It's like green.
Green.
His Instagram is Honda Ola Drive.
Ah, yes. Jonathan is his name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's always...
He came up fast.
Yeah, he came out.
Yeah. Shout out to Jonathan. What up, man? Abe tunes his car, too. That's why it's fast.
So if I ever get a Honda, I have to have Abe tune it. Got it.
Yeah. Holla at my boy.
So yeah. Are we going to see your car at TX2K? Or?
Maybe. I'll try to go. I'll try. It's just work got me. You know?
World Cup is like the top.
The top, top. Like
that's what you would prep for over any other event.
Yeah, absolutely. Like that's the Super Bowl of racing there. If you get invited there, remember that's technically invite only.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like you gotta be able to make the class, and you gotta email them a video of your pass, of your ET.
Okay, I never actually knew what how you get into that. I thought it was just like
no, you have to email them a pass of your ET to make sure you could even get in. If not, they won't sell you a ticket.
Gotcha.
So all the people that were talking shit, where the fuck were your cars at?
Who was talking?
All the fucking cheaters. None of their cars are there. Only your hero. Flushed him down the drain. See you next year, fam.
All right. Well,
the other guy. There was another guy. The guy with the bad fucking hairline is fucking his fucking sidekick. There was another dude bashing me on fucking TikTok.
Saying what?
Saying that why I didn't post round two. That I lost. Bro, I don't give a fuck that I lost, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? I do this for fun. Guys are on my for no fucking reason. Like, who the fuck are you? I don't even know if that guy got a fucking... All I know is he got a bad hairline. I don't know if he got a car or none of that shit. Fuck you. How about that?
So all this animosity over just like how you staged
the car. Yeah, bro. Like, he lost. That's it. Where was your car? Stage next to me. Grab the next lane. Stage next to me. See if I do it again. Good ass. Hate those motherfuckers, bro. Got nothing to do. They don't got no race cars. They just got a mouth. That's it. And their fucking fingers got muscles. That's all.
So, I'll be going to Puerto Rico. I'm Puerto Rican, and I'll be going there for the first time for a podcast or a few podcasts, right?
Dope. That's
never
dope.
Been there, so I'm pretty excited. Have you ever been to Puerto Rico?
Yes. Okay. We raced one time with the guys over at Import DPS. We went to Salinas. They sent out like 10 cars. And it was a great time. Best vacation of my life.
So they sent out 10 cars, yours obviously being one of them. And it was an event for a couple days, weekend, one day event.
Yeah, it was a weekend event. We got there a week early to prep the cars and stuff like that.
What's the weather? I'm literally tomorrow I'm leaving. But like, what's the weather like over there? And is it good for drag racing?
Yeah, it's a beautiful island. Yeah. The track was pretty good.
Okay.
If you go there, look for my sticker. It's up there.
you know what the name of the track is?
Salinas Raceway.
Salinas, yeah. Okay.
It's nice. Nice track. We had a great time there.
And the prep is good there at that track?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah.
So what were you racing against? What were some of the cars that were there? Any heavy hitters that you remember?
It was another all-wheel drive hatch there that actually was bought from over here. It was a blue hatch that used to be the CLM car. They shipped it to Puerto Rico. Somebody else had bought it. And we had a grudge race set up. They painted it black.
Mm.
I don't know why. Maybe they was trying to catch people or whatever the case. Yeah. But we had a match race set up that didn't go down because they were having issues with the car.
Yeah.
So my class just rolled through because other people were having problems and I ended up winning.
So you won the event?
Yeah, we won the event over there with my car, at least in my class. It was cool.
So what was the payout for that?
It's like $1,000.
Nice. So you got a free trip.
Yeah.
Out of it. Well, I don't say free trip, but it was taken care of.
Yeah.
You won $1,000.
Yeah, but I spent that on everybody. Like everybody that went.
Yeah.
We're like from all over the place, like Philly, Maryland. So when we went to dinner, I blew the check on dinner here. Yeah. That's for everybody.
But isn't that cool though? Cause like normally you go to these events, you're spending so much in the States. you're spending so much money. You have a trailer, you got gas, all these things. And when you win, if you win the event, you get that money, and it's like, that's going to cover what?
Yeah.
You know? So that's pretty cool that you went to Puerto Rico and you were able to take that money and actually use it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, to do something.
Show love. It's all good. It's only food.
Is that the only time? Is that the only time you traveled with the car?
Yeah, that was the only time I traveled with the car out of the country.
Out of the country.
Yeah.
Do you have any plans to go anywhere else?
Hopefully soon. You know, we've been talking with some of the guys over there in Antigua. Maybe we could ship the car out there.
45 took his car there.
Yeah, he has a car out there. Shout out to 45. We're going to Jamaica in December. Friend of mine, Bebo. Okay. He has an all-wheel drive Integra out there.
Yeah, yep.
And I'll be driving it.
Oh, so you'll be driving it?
Yeah, I'll be driving it. Jamie Marsh tunes it. Shout out to Jamie. We're going to go have some fun, you know?
I've seen some videos over there in the racing in Jamaica, obviously through 45. And some of those tracks, the way they race over there, looks kind of sketch. A little sketchy.
Yeah.
The way they race over there. But they make it happen, man. Those guys.
So it's like the street.
Yeah. No, literally, it's like street racing at the track.
Just like the street.
Pretty much. But I remember there was that one video of 45 when he was like, I don't know what he was racing in, but he went off the track. It looked like it was a dirt road or something like that. I don't know what
it
was.
Yeah, it's wild over there.
And I was like, I don't know if I'd ever want to be going down that track, you know, as fast as they're going, for sure. So, and is this going to be happening soon for you? Or?
Yeah, December 15th, we'll be out in Jamaica.
Okay, so you're flying there, obviously.
Yeah, we're flying there.
You know, not taking the car. That's cool. That's cool. And how long are you going to be there for?
We'll just be there for the weekend.
When is this event?
December 15th.
Oh, that's the what weekend was the name of the track? PRI. It's after PRI.
Yeah, it's right after PRI. So I'm going to PRI. Then from PRI, I'm flying straight to Jamaica.
I might have to take a little trip over
Island
there,
vibes.
I was supposed to go last year because when I started the podcast, a lot of people from Jamaica were tuning in because of 45. And then I never did. I just never had the time to. But, I mean, for a weekend, I don't see why.
Pull up.
I'll see. We'll see.
It's always a good time.
We'll see. So I do want to say that I appreciate your time, man.
Thank you.
You are a legend in the Honda scene and cars in general. You've been around for years doing this stuff. So
thank you.
Your passion does not go unnoticed at all. So you're definitely a humble guy as well. Sure.
Thank you, man.
So if you can let the viewers know where to find you on Instagram, social media.
It's _highboost. That's my Instagram name. Follow me, man. I'll make you laugh.
All right, man. Well, thanks. Thank you so much for your time and the hospitality. I think we're going to go get some food right now.
Yeah.
Because everyone here is starving.
I'm going to bring you to my spot.
All right, guys. Well, if you guys are listening and watching, make sure you guys are subscribed and also hit that like button. And also make sure you guys are listening on all streaming platforms. Until next time, guys, we'll catch you on the next one. Peace.
An O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card is the perfect gift for that hard-to-buy-for person. Give the gift of convenience from O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.